Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, a station dedicated to the concept that all manifestations of the divine are equally valid. Join Reverend Terry Power HP, Lord Onyx, and all the hosts 7 nights a week for programming covering a wide range of spiritual topics right here on Blog Talk Radio. Under a Shady Tree with Lord Terry and Lord Onyx. Come on in, grab a glass of sweet iced tea and sit right down. These Southern Pagan boys are about to start their talk. And now, here's Lord Terry and Lord Onyx.
And good evening, everybody. Good afternoon, good morning, good whatever time of the world, time of the day it is, wherever in the world you are. We are happy to have you with us, and this is Reverend Terry Power, coming to you live from the Allentown area of Pennsylvania. And Onyx is taking a break for a little while, and we're going to be redoing that intro. My new co-host for the Shady Tree, joining us under the Shady Tree, is my lady, Robin McKean. How are you tonight, darling?
I'm fine. How are you this evening?
Doing well. So, gosh, beautiful day today. A little chilly yesterday. I think, you know, the weather is just too psychotic right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, blistering heat one day and 50s the next day. It's just been crazy. So, just happy the sun was shining today. So, gosh, I don't even know. I think we should just go ahead and get into the theme of the questions. And we had a couple of questions come in about attending festivals, and you know, it occurred to us when we were talking earlier, it occurred to us it is coming up on festival season.
Yeah.
And we're looking at a couple of festivals. We've been asked to speak at another festival, and we've not gotten all that nailed down yet, so we're not going to say publicly what it is yet until we get everything confirmed.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, it is that season of the year, and we just came back from a festival. So a lot of things are, you know, swirling in the air, and it's just that time of year when it's exciting to get out. And you know, up here in the north, we suffered through a kind of brutal winter.
Oh, yeah, we did.
And, you know, we were locked indoors for so many months, we couldn't even get outside.
Mm-hmm.
It was just, you know, stay indoors, and you know, our contact with our fellow pagans was, you know, pretty much right here. You know, so you know, being able to be out and about and meet with others is just you know, too cool an experience. And you know, we just got to get out and meet other people. So you were going to say something, and I was just barreling along. So go ahead, Darren.
No, I forgot now. Sorry.
I derailed your train of thought.
Yeah, I got to strike while the iron is hot, otherwise I completely forget. I admit it. I'm senile.
It's okay. I was saying something about how brutal the winter was.
Oh, yeah. Well, it was brutal. I'm agreeing.
Oh, okay. Now, maybe it wasn't anything to add. So, so the questions tonight are about festival season. And, you know, I think we just launch into the first one, unless you've got something else you want to say in the introduction.
Nah. You go right ahead. You're on a roll. Go right ahead, baby.
It's going to be that kind of night. Huh? All right. Well, let's go ahead, if you would, read the first question for us, please, ma'am.
Oh, you want me to read them? Hold on.
Yes, ma'am.
I didn't have it up on my email. Let me go to the
email. Okay. We're still working out this host, co-host kind of thing, so bear with us.
I'm used to not being the... Let's see.
Yeah, you got spoiled on Friday night with Lisa being your co-host.
Well, yeah, she takes care of all this crap for me.
Yeah, well, that's now your job on Thursday night, see?
Wait a minute, have I been demoted? I'm kidding. let's see. I have too many email addresses. I'm trying to figure out which.
All right. You win. I will read the question.
Did I send it to
all
you?
Right.
Okay.
It doesn't matter. Here we go. So, the question is, my boyfriend wants to attend a pagan festival coming up in July. I was all for it. It would only be the second one I ever attended, and we had a great time at the first one we went to. Then I found out this festival is clothing optional.
Oh.
I am terrified. Okay, I am terrified about this on so many levels. First, what if he spends all his time looking at other naked women? Is he going to want to get naked? And will he want me to get naked too? What am I supposed to do if someone who is naked comes up to talk to me? Where do I look? I am totally freaked out and afraid to talk to him about it because I don't want him to think I'm not cool. We haven't been together too long, only about 8 months, and I'm freaking out with what to do, how to act. Please give me some information so I can use to not feel so scared. Thank you.
Well, first, may I applaud your candor. Because it's you know, I remember years and years and years and years and years and years ago when I went to my first pagan clothing optional event. And, you know, I think for most people, those kinds of questions run through their mind. Oh, my God, what happens the first time some naked person comes up to talk to me, and where do I put my eyes? you know, I kind of leaped right in. My very first clothing optional event was Starwood, which at that time was held up at the Brushwood Folklore Center in upstate New York. About 3,000 to 4,000 people every year used to go to that event when it was there. That's a lot of naked people. and they have a really nice facility there. But it was daunting going in. Have you, Terry, been to any clothing optional events?
Yes, I have.
Mm-hmm. And how did it go for you?
It was fine. The first time I was there, through all of them that I have ever been to that were clothing optional, I was always single.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't have to worry about whether or not somebody was going to be upset at what I, you know, about what I looked at, other than the people that might be upset with being looked at. But I figure, mm-hmm. if they're walking around naked, they're probably expecting they're going to get looked at. No, I mean, I didn't have a problem with it. It's, you know, it's about being a grown-up. It becomes, for me, it became so much just so.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you see so many naked people, it's like, okay, so everybody's naked. It's, you know, no big deal. It's not like it becomes... I think that our society, particularly American society, is so we're just a little too tightly wrapped when it comes to nudity and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, repressed is the word I was looking for.
Mm-hmm.
And at an event such as this, I find that it becomes a non-issue. It's not like it's no big deal because there's so many people who are naked. It's not like one naked person walking amongst all the clothed people. It's like, you know, generally about an even mix at the events I went to.
Mm-hmm.
So, go ahead.
The one thing I want to make clear to our friend here who wrote the question is that not everybody looks like a supermodel. When you go there, there are going to be all shapes and sizes. There are going to be people who are naked who are 400 pounds, and there are going to be people who are naked who have perfect bodies, and there are going to be everything in between. So you know, she may be having in her mind that every other person that's there is going to, you know, be so much more attractive or be so perfect, and that maybe she's afraid she can't measure up or whatever. But that's generally not the case. I honestly found when I've been to clothing optional events that you start to become desensitized to the nudity and you really don't see it anymore, unless something really unusual walks by, whether it's the 400-pound naked guy with a belly, you know, what do they call the little zippy purses that you wear around your waist, like a belly bag. You know, that's the only thing he's got on, you know, is the belly bag. Or, you know, something to that effect, or somebody who's, you know, just unusual. My favorite story that I always tell about my first Brushwood is that at Brushwood they have a pool, an indoor pool, and that next to the pool there are six shower heads, and it's communal, and it's male-female. And that was the best place to take a shower because you didn't have to take the quarter-mile walk up the hill to the shower house up at the top of the hill. So people would go in there and they'd share shower because you had to have this pull chain, and it was hard to pull the chain and shampoo your hair at the same time. So you would wind up buddy system with somebody, you'd hold the chain for them, they'd hold the chain for you, and it would just, you know, happen randomly as you were standing in line. You know, oh, look, there's a shower head that's open, come on, let's go, and the two of you would go over there. So my first experience with this was going up to the shower pool, getting in line, and this person's in front of me, and I haven't really noticed him much because I'm trying not to look too much at all these naked people, and he says, oh, he taps me on the shoulder, says, come on, we'll take this shower. And I'm, okay, fine, you know, I'm getting ready and we're taking the shower and I'm holding the chain for him. And it suddenly occurs to me that he's got these very long painted nails and he's about 6 feet tall and obviously Native American and somewhat attractive. And his fingernails are painted and his toenails are painted and he's now shaving his legs in the shower. So my first experience with taking a communal shower at Brushwood was with a 6 foot tall Native American transvestite. Just one of the fun things that can happen to you at a clothing optional event. So.
Yeah, I mean, I think desensitized may be too strong a word, but it becomes less an issue because there's so much nudity. And like you said, you know, you don't notice anything until something out of the ordinary.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you know, walks by. I mean, and it could be a particularly attractive person. Now, mm-hmm. as much as the question writer is concerned about her boyfriend looking at, you know, an attractive woman, you know, walking around naked, what about the fact that she might see some attractive men walking around naked? And, you know, is the, you know, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. I mean, it's not, if you're in a committed relationship and you're together and you love each other, it's not going to be a big deal if, you know, if he notices an attractive person or you do, clothed or otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
Just because there's no clothing doesn't mean that the, you know, that the attraction, that the person's going to be more attractive than they would if you met them on the street and they were clothed, or if you were at the beach or a swimming pool. So, you know, I think the fact that there's clothing in the way often draws more attention than the open nudity at a clothing optional event.
Hmm.
All righty.
Hmm.
So, what are your thoughts?
Well, you know, I understand why, you know, people, I don't want to just say women, but I understand why people have insecure feelings about this. It's not something that we're brought up with in our culture. You know, a lot of other cultures have, like you said before, you know, in this country, we're wrapped so tightly about nudity. You know, in Great Britain, they have nude TV shows. In Japan, it's communal bathing is commonplace. People do it all the time. And I have to say, one of the great experiences that came out of all my years of going to Rushwood was the camaraderie that you feel with people when you communally bathe. Everybody's naked. Everybody's there to get clean. Everybody is helpful. And it's an interesting dynamic that if you've never experienced it, it really is about community building. I mean, once you've seen somebody naked, you know, you're friends. There's just no two ways about it.
Yeah.
And especially when you've watched that person, you know, and this is kind of gross, but you watch that person take their shower. They got bits and pieces they've got to clean in the shower that you probably never thought you were going to see them stick their fingers in there and clean out in there. You know, I mean, it's just one of those things, but everybody's got to do it. So, it tears down walls and brings people closer, and it reminds us all that no matter what, we all, you know, have things housekeeping we have to do. You know, we all have to.
Well, I mean, we were all born that way. We all came into the world that way.
Exactly.
And,
exactly.
You know, it is the great equalizer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because somebody can walk the streets in a fancy suit or designer clothes,
mm-hmm.
but when you're all running around naked, that's all, you know, that's all gone. There's no status there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the artificial status we wear,
mm-hmm.
that's, you know, that's pretty much gone at that point.
Exactly. So it shouldn't, you know, it shouldn't seem, you should try not to view it as so intimidating and so scary. And clothing optional is just that. It doesn't mean you have to get naked. Now, the point she brings out in her letter about what if my boyfriend wants to get naked and what if he wants me to get naked, well, if that's not something you're comfortable with, that's something the two of you should talk about. You need before
well, that
you go.
Yeah,
before you go, you sit down and you say, okay, here is what I'm comfortable with. And what are you comfortable with? And what are your ideas? And let's exchange them and let's talk about it. Don't wait until you're there to find out that, oh, yeah, he's going to get naked and go running around in the field with everybody, and I'm going to be sitting in camp all day not getting naked by myself. So, yeah, you don't want to put yourself in that situation.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not the go ahead and run around totally naked type either. I will, you know, at festivals like that, I will usually wear know, a pair of, you know, like khaki shorts. And I very often go topless. I mean, I will run around without a shirt, depending on how much shade there's going to be. You know, and one thing to consider, if you are going to go with less clothing, treat it like the beach, and sunscreen, folks. Because
yes.
Going to your first, you know, your first clothing optional event and getting sunburn in places you don't think about is probably not how you want to spend the weekend.
Yes, and do yourself a favor and apply your sunscreen to all your bits and pieces in your tent before sun exposure, because it will last longer and it will be more effective. And also, there's nothing, I don't know, there's nothing I want to see less than people applying sunscreen to their private parts in public. I just really don't care to watch. So do that in your tent before you leave. And, you know, maybe that's my prudy moment coming out, but I've seen it. It's just not, really not.
You didn't know it was going to be that kind of party, huh?
Yeah, I just, you know what? Also, a hint to vendors. When setting up your vending tent, please wear clothes. Male and female, please wear clothes. Too much bending and lifting, and it's just, no, it's just not a good look for anybody. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Good point. It's important safety tip. Yeah. The biggest thing is going to be communication. Talk to your partner. If you're before you get there, you know, have some communication. Be brave enough to communicate with your partner. If you're really in a committed relationship, communication needs to be a part of it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And you should be able to talk about anything and everything. And this certainly falls under that category.
Mm-hmm.
This is something that you definitely want to have a conversation about. You know, what is your partner comfortable with? What are you comfortable with? Letting them know that as well. You know, I've been to any number of clothing optional events, and I don't personally get naked. I'm not going to, you know, let it hang out for all to see. That's for the person on my partner, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, but, you know, I have been known to run around in a mid-thigh length sarong,
mm-hmm.
and very little else.
Mm-hmm.
There's a certain freedom to it, you know. You know, going commando under a kilt or a sarong is a freeing, you know, feeling. But I'm not going to let it all hang out.
Right.
I'm just not comfortable with that. I just don't feel the need.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to, you know. And you know, there's a comment in the chat room that you will see varying levels. You know, like I'm talking about, I might be, you know, wearing shorts and no shirt. You see a lot of men dressed that way. You see a lot of women dressed that way. They're comfortable exposing their breasts, but not necessarily comfortable exposing everything. So you will see a lot of women running around in sarongs, topless, and then varying levels in between. You know, so it's not like, you know, just this great naked orgy. It's much more controlled than that. And the removal of the clothing really equalizes the playing field a great deal. And it's far less sexual,
mm-hmm.
when everyone is naked. It's not about sex. It's about the freedom of expression and the community and the idea that we're all equal and we're all equal naked.
Yeah.
You have anything you want to add to that?
No, that's pretty much it.
Okay. And again, I'm going to look back at the question and look and make sure we've addressed everything in it. So this person listening in can... okay. Well, the one thing we did not cover is, you know, where do I look when someone comes up to talk to you? Because you're going to have conversations with naked people at this event. It's not if, you know, what am I supposed to do if someone who is naked comes up to talk to me? It's not if, it's going to happen. So
yeah.
go think this through. You know, where do you look? Well, I mean, where do you look if someone's wearing clothes?
Right.
You know, you look at their face, you look at their mouth and their eyes when you're talking to them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, yes, you're going to look at people's eyes. You're going to. I mean, your boyfriend is going to, you're going to. There's, you know, I mean, you somebody walks up to you, look at how they're dressed. Someone walks up to you naked, you're going to look at how they look. I mean, it's not a freak out kind of moment. But when you stand and talk to someone, you're going to talk to their eyes anyway.
Yeah.
So treat people as if they were dressed, I guess, is the only thing I can think to say. What's your take on that part?
Exactly the same. And, you know, it's hard enough, being a woman, it's hard enough sometimes for men to look me in the face anyway, because they're, you know, cleavage peeking or whatever. So, you know,
well,
you kind of get
cleavage peek at my life.
Well, anyway, they kind of, you know, you kind of get used to it as a woman. But on the other hand, it's for the person who is talking to the naked person, it can be, you know, a little bit daunting, like, yeah, where do you look? And like you said, you just make eye contact with them and talk to them and just, you know, don't be too embarrassed. I mean, there's nothing you can do about it, you know. They're naked, and they're going to talk to you, and you're going to have that moment. So you better think about how to get through it and get comfortable with it and get over it.
Okay, well said. Was there any other part of that question that we did not address?
I don't think so. And in the moment of all fairness, if you'd like, I'll read the next one.
Okay, well, we're going to do that after the break.
Yes, I figured.
So I hope that we have given you some information that you can use so that you will feel less scared. Go and experience it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not a monstrous deal. It's not, you know, it's not some great, you know, boogeyman that's waiting to. You know, prey on your fears. It's something that's completely natural, and that kind of openness is something you don't experience in the mundane world.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I think everybody should have it as an experience under their belt, at least once.
Absolutely. All right, well, let's go ahead and take a break. We're going to listen to a song called Before the Twilight Falls by Emerald Rose. And we're going to play a little bit of business, and we'll be back here in a few minutes, so stick around.
Calls, you and I Take my hand, I'll take your kiss. One last kiss, ere twilight falls. Before the twilight falls, you and I are bright and green. Before the future calls, you and I stand in between. Here is a prison, that is a wall. Kiss me before the twilight falls. Before the twilight falls, before the twilight falls, kiss me before the twilight falls.
You are listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, where we believe that all manifestations of the divine are valid. You had a choice, and you chose to spend time with us. Join us nightly at 10 p.m. Eastern Time for a wide variety of programming. If you miss one of our shows, there are plenty of places to catch up. Every show is archived at www.blogtalkradio.com/CERN. Look for the on-demand shows. They are available as a free podcast download on iTunes and now available free on the TuneIn Radio application and website. Follow us on Twitter at SURN_ORG and on Facebook. Each of our shows has a Facebook presence so that you can keep abreast with what is going on. If you have any moans, groans, gripes, bitches, complaints, or compliments, you may send those to the station management by emailing surn.org@gmail.com. On Thursday nights, Onyx and Terry discuss questions that have been sent in by you, the listeners. If you have a question you want them to discuss, please send it to the station's email address. If you'd like credit for the question, please let us know in the email. For more information about our network, please click over to www.spiritualunityradionetwork.org. Your support is greatly appreciated, and we humbly thank you for that.
There is one power in the universe, and we are perfect manifestations of that power.
And as such, we pray. We pray for peace. We pray for love. We pray for stability. We pray for the nation in which we live. We pray for the world.
We will it. We manifest it. We draw it to us. We receive it, we accept it, and we give thanks for it. And by our will, so mote it be.
Terry and Onyx on the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. We're glad you're here. And now, back to the show.
We'll move you to Virginia.
I love this rejoin. I love our music on Thursday night. How you doing, darling?
I'm doing well, baby.
All right. Welcome back to Under a Shady Tree. This is Reverend Terry Power, and I'm joined by my new co-host, Robin McKean.
Not Onyx.
That's right. Now, it's not Onyx with a new voice. This is Robin.
Yeah, Onyx doesn't have a cold. It's just Robin.
Mm. Oh, you're more than just Robin.
Oh, how sweet. Thank you. Well, I promise to be I promise to read the next question since you read the first one.
Yeah, well, did you want to wrap up there? Yeah, let's go ahead and mention the previous question for anybody that's joining us during the break.
Okay.
Yeah, because we were talking, we had a question from a lady that's thinking about going to an event, and it turns out that it's a clothing optional event. And we talked a little bit about clothing optional events and, you know, just not freaking out, just relaxing. It's totally natural, and everybody's kind of on an equal footing when you're, you know, when there's, you know, no status symbols being worn as clothing. So.
Mm-hmm. And the fact that not everybody is going to be have a perfect body, there's going to be every walk of life, short, tree people, tall people, skinny people, fat people, and everything in between. And actually, if anything, I have found it usually makes you feel better about yourself because you, when you're there, you're looking at all these other people and you're thinking, well, geez, I don't look that bad. Or, geez,
yeah,
I don't have that.
I don't feel nearly so bad as I did when I got here.
Exactly,
yeah.
Exactly. So it's usually a positive experience for most people. It really puts you, your mind in a different space. Well, if she can do that, well, you know, wow. You know, I mean, it's a totally a different mindset than what we're used to in our culture.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so
I'm
hoping she
does. Second question. Don't hurt. I'm sorry.
That's all right. The second question. It says, I've decided that the way to get over my recently failed long-term relationship is to throw myself into every pagan festival with as many naked people at it as possible. However, I've never been to a camping.
I see a theme.
Say that again?
I see a theme going on here.
Yeah, a theme, yeah, naked people. However, I've never been to a camping festival before. What do I bring? What do I need? What tips and hints should I have so I don't look so much like a novice? Looking forward to partying and having a lot of fun this summer. Maybe I'll even meet someone new, but I'm not sure I want to be tied down again just yet.
Okay. Wow, there's a lot to cover in that one as well. I'm not even sure where to start with that. Getting out and meeting new people is always a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, getting over a failed relationship by getting out and meeting other people is definitely a good and healthy thing.
Oh, yeah.
There's a hint at a certain level of, I don't know, maybe it's just a hint that I'm picking up, maybe I'm reading too much into it, but it sounded like there was a hint of getting over a relationship by a certain level of promiscuity.
Well, yeah, that seems to be the general gist here.
And I'm not sure that part is entirely healthy.
Yeah.
You know, if that's not your character usually, then throwing yourself at that is probably not going to give you the closure that you're looking for. You know, is this out of revenge? Is, you know, what was, you know, there's a whole lot to deal with there that's outside the theme of, I think, the evening's question. But I do want to throw that out there that there's, you know, that's not necessarily, if that is not your nature, usually, then that's not going to give you the satisfaction that you're probably looking for, ultimately.
Mm-hmm.
It will just leave you feeling worse about yourself.
Yeah.
So that's something that needs to be addressed within yourself. Maybe some time looking within would be a better option than just, you know, going nuts.
But, you know, it's funny how, and I don't mean to sound sexist, but particularly with men, when they have felt like they've, you know, really put a lot of impetus into a relationship over the long term, and then it fails no matter what they've done, they tend to go out and feel the need to conquer and reestablish their confidence, I guess, in their you know, sexuality and their virility, and I am a man, and you know, you never know what the circumstances are. You know, of course, this question
I would tell the man
absolutely no clue as to gender, so I shouldn't really, you know, assume that it's a guy, but you know.
Well, I mean, I would say the same thing to a man or a woman, mm-hmm. that if it is not in your nature, then you probably want to rethink it,
mm.
because it's going to leave you feeling worse about yourself, whether you're male or female. You know, and so, you know, that kind of acting outside of character is usually a hint that you need to address things within yourself before you go off half-cocked, as it were.
Yeah.
So, I was wondering if, you know, mm-hmm. anybody even in the chat room is going to chuckle at that. But
mm-hmm.
so, let's get to the parts of it that really address the theme of the night, though. And it's a good question about addressing what do I need?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what tips and hints? I think let's stick to that part and let the person deal with the ramifications of the rest of it, the rest of the minutiae built into this.
Well, the first thing I would recommend for this individual is definitely a large box of condoms and or, you know, whatever kind of birth control you're going to and protection you're going to decide to use.
Yeah, protection, I think, is a good plan.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not just a birth control issue anymore. There's stuff
yes.
out there to make you dead.
Yes.
So, so that's another aspect of the promiscuity that needs to be addressed.
Yes.
But I wasn't going to go there necessarily, but I'm glad you did. So, yeah, whatever protection you're going to use against whatever else might, whatever your partner's in this rampant promiscuity might have encountered in their past as well.
Mm-hmm.
But let's see, what do I need to bring? Well, we've already addressed this. If you're going to be going to a lot of clothing optional, which is hinted at in the as many naked people as possible,
mm-hmm.
Sunscreen.
Yes.
Lots and lots of sunscreen.
Mm-hmm.
Again, going to a clothing optional event and getting parts of you sunburned that don't normally see the light of day is not how you want to spend the weekend.
No.
You know, you've not lived until you had a sunburn down there.
Yes, I've seen that. I used to volunteer at the medical pavilion at Brushwood, and I saw my fair share of sunburn.
That's wrong.
Yeah.
Male or female with sunburn down there, that's just wrong.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. It's just not fun at all. And they both present really horrific, you want to talk about, uncomfortable. There's just no way to be comfortable. Anyway, so we talked about sunscreen. One of the things that's really super important are shoes. Again, having volunteered at the medical thing, we see more foot injuries at pagan festivals because people inevitably decide they're going to walk around barefoot or they're going to wear these like flimsy flip-flops. You need to have good shoes. If you're going to take a shower and you want to wear flip-flops because you're going to be wearing them in the shower as well, I get that. That's fine. But they are not for 24/7 wearing. You're going to need a good pair of sneakers. You might even want to consider bringing a pair of boots in case it rains and you get a lot of mud. Flip-flops in the mud are just not going to be effective. That's for sure.
Yeah, comment in the chat room. Flip flops are good in the shower only.
That's it. Yeah, and that's pretty much true. You have to remember that a lot of these places are old campgrounds and old farms that have been converted into campgrounds. And a lot of the time there'll be, you know, stray pieces of metal or nails or things. I can't tell you how many people we had to send for tetanus shots into town because they stepped on a nail or a piece of metal. And, of course, they couldn't remember when the last time was they had a tetanus shot. Okay. You know, now you're going to go into town, you're going to see the town doc, and for $50, he's going to give you a tetanus shot. You know, it's just easier to wear shoes.
Yeah, or sandals. I mean, if you, but some kind of sandal that actually wraps around. I've got a pair of sandals. My daughter calls them Jesus sandals because they're actually, you know, they're actually almost closed toe.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's, you know, they're good sandals and they work with shorts if I'm, you know, wearing a sarong or something like that. Mm-hmm. I'm not barefoot. They've got good soles on.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
they're like shoes.
Yeah. Yeah. As long as you've got something with a good sole and your toes have some sort of protection, you know, that's gonna be decent. You don't, but flip-flops and those plastic cloggy things that you buy at Walmart for $5, not your best choice. Again, those are great for in the shower, but not your best choice for walking through the fields and in, you know, at a festival. You're also, other than shoes, good idea to bring a small first aid kit with you, something with a pair of scissors, some Band-Aids, nail clippers, tweezers. You know, you never know when you might have to remove a tick. So good idea to put a little package together of that sort of stuff, maybe some antibiotic cream to take with you, and small. It doesn't have to be a huge ordeal, just a small thing. Maybe some medical tape, you know, because, again, blisters and things you might get, you're going to want to be able to wrap them with some tape or a Band-Aid.
Your comment is in the chat room, antibiotic ointment, you know, whether it's triple antibiotic, or, you know, A&D, whatever brand, you know.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely.
And there was a comment, I want to go back. There was a comment in the chat room about clay sunscreen.
Mm-hmm.
And the event that I used to go to, this event site that was, they had, very little of the actual event. There were a lot of kids around, so there was a section that was clothing optional. And I had to go in that section a few times. But there was a pond that stayed moist all the time. It wasn't like, you know, there wasn't a lot of standing water, but there was like a mud pit, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And people would go and get in the mud pit and cover themselves with mud, and, you know, this clay mud, and then they would, you know, that's how they would be dressed or undressed or however you want to say it, but that was their sunscreen for the event.
Mm-hmm.
And then they would just shower it off later. So that's an interesting idea, and, you know, seeing people covered in, you know, that khaki-colored mud was a, you know, interesting experience as well.
Hmm.
So, you know, first aid kit. You know, tenting. I mean, you're going to be tenting. So let's address some of the, you know, just some of the basics. And this applies whether it's clothing optional or not. Actually, everything we've talked about so far applies clothing, you know, clothing optional or otherwise.
Yep.
Go ahead.
I'm going to talk about one of my pet peeves. When you go camping, leave the air mattress home. It's great for putting people up coming to your house in your living room. Air mattresses are not meant for camping. They just hold cold air And if you know, even in the summer, in the mountains, it can be cold at night. As a matter of fact, tonight there's a frost warning here where I am in Pennsylvania. And even in the middle of the summer, you can have cold nights and air temperature. So if it's 40 degrees air temperature, it's 30 degrees colder on the ground on the air mattress. So it's going to be, really cold if you're on that ground on the air mattress. And air mattresses, rather than, they're comfortable to sleep on, obviously, because it's air. But rather than sleeping on an air mattress, which holds all this cold air up against your body, whether you have a sleeping bag underneath you or not, much better to go out and purchase, say, a thick piece of memory foam or a futon mattress that you can roll up and like a cot and take with you.
Egg crate foam,
yeah, and throw that down and then put your sleeping bag on top of that. I do know people who take air mattresses and put the foam on top. That seems to build up a lot of condensation between the air mattress and the foam. And sometimes when you get into the bed, the foam is wet, which is another tip. If you're camping in a tent during the day, make sure you unzip some of the window flaps to let air circulation in your tent. Otherwise, when you come back at night, your bedding will be wet from condensation having built up from the heat in your tent during the day, especially if you're camping in the sun, which is another thing.
And in the woods where there's a lot of moisture just naturally.
Right.
That's going to condense up.
Exactly. Which is another hint. When you're replacing your tent, you want to walk around your campsite and find ground that is as level as possible with no depressions and not too slanty. But you do want the water, because if it rains, you want the water to run off where you put your tent. So you do not want to have any kind of depressions where you're going to be sleeping, because when it rains, you're going to have a puddle, and then you're going to be camping and sleeping in a puddle, which is no fun. So be mindful of where you put your tent, and think about before you set your tent, how are you going to be putting your mattress in the tent? Where's the head going to be? Because you want to make sure your head is going to be higher than your feet if the ground is slanted at all. I know this sounds like common sense.
A couple of weeks ago.
I mean, you'd be surprised how many people, when they set up a tent, don't think about these things. A tarp for under your tent is always useful. A lot of people don't do it these days, but I have always found putting down a tarp, putting your tent on top of that tarp, will help to keep ground moisture from coming up into your tent, and it will cut down on some of that condensation.
Yeah. We're coming up on the top of the hour, so we need to go ahead and throw some other stuff out there. There was a comment about drinking water, irregardless of whatever drinks you bring. Food. Are you going to be cooking for yourself? Are you going to be doing a food plan at the event? You're going to want snacks around the camp. What kind of cooler are you going to bring? The cooler doubles as a packing crate when you're done with the event as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How are you going to secure your snacky type stuff that doesn't need to be in a cooler? I usually recommend one of those Rubbermaid totes. And I also always used Rubbermaid totes for my clothing when I went camping. I never brought a suitcase to go camping, except for this last time because we flew. But always put the clothes in a Rubbermaid tote that, in case it rained, wouldn't get wet. My clothes would stay dry.
Yeah. And that's another thing, is that depending on the time of year, spring and fall events can have widely varying temperatures from day to day, and certainly from day to night.
Mm-hmm.
And while you may be happy running around in a sarong and sandals and just be free during the day, it gets cool at night.
Mm-hmm.
That event we were just attended in Florida, it still got cool in the evening. And we were happy that we had brought some heavier clothing with us. So,
yeah, and we brought those two extra, throws for the bed. So.
Yeah. We brought some stuff to put around our shoulders and our arms in the evening and long pants because it got cold. I mean, I said cool, but it got cold a couple of, you know, the one night in particular.
Yeah, it did.
So, you know, you want to be prepared for, for any eventuality. And in the chat room, when the person put water in the chat room, I said drinking water, but he's pointing out to me that the water also serves for cleaning out of any cuts or any other mm-hmm. the myriad number of uses.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and one of the things I always did was keep a couple of bottles of water in the tent. Because if you wake up in the middle of the night and you're thirsty, and sometimes you do, or if you wake up in the middle of the night with leg cramps, which can sometimes happen to people the first two nights at an event, you're not used to all that walking and stuff, and you're maybe a little dehydrated, you don't have to get up with leg cramps and find some water. I've got a couple of bottles here inside the tent.
Fair enough. Mm-hmm. Yeah, mention of a flashlight.
Mm-hmm.
You know, worst thing in the world to get to a campsite and it's the middle of the night and you don't have a flashlight.
Right. You should have a flashlight and a lantern for keeping something lit in the tent. So if you need to get dressed or something.
We've around the house, we've got those three. You had one. I brought in a couple of more of those. They look like lanterns, but they're LEDs.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And they're bright.
Yeah.
And those will light up the inside of the tent. You can carry those if you want to, you know, if you need to move around outside the tent in the dark.
Mm-hmm.
But a handheld flashlight also would. Yeah. Now, if you're traveling and you're in a large enough vehicle, some tiki torches. Those will also help keep down the bugs if you use like citronella lamp oil.
Mm-hmm.
We're just talking about light and the evenings. Tiki torches are amazing. It's great atmosphere
mm-hmm.
as well as providing light, and the citronella oil burning will keep down the bugs.
One of the other things that I always do is I take those little glow sticks. I buy a bunch of those glow sticks and I hang them on the tent lines, because there's nothing worse than going out of your tent at night and tripping over your own tent line because you didn't see it there. If there's a glow stick at the bottom of the tent line, at least you know where it is. So you don't trip over it like an idiot. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah. Other things to make sure you bring are things like lip balm for your lips, because people get dry lips. Make sure you bring all your toiletries, your hairbrush, toothbrush, toothpaste, towels, extra towels, because, you know, inevitably you're going to have a wet towel and you may want to take another shower later in the same day. Your towel might still be wet. One of the tricks I do is to keep your towel clean and keep it dry is I zip the tent windows about halfway and I hang the towels on the inside of the windows so that they're not outside to get bugs and stuff on them. But they will dry that way, which always...
Particularly if you leave the tent unzipped and get airflow through it, like you'd already mentioned.
Yeah,
another
exactly.
important tip. For,
yep, exactly.
So there's probably a whole show in just talking about festival preparation.
Mm-hmm.
And we may do that on a Tuesday night sometime during the summer.
Okay, that sounds like a good idea.
Yeah. But anyway, I think we are getting, we are at the top of the hour.
Mm-hmm.
I think we've pretty well covered it. There's more suggestions coming in. Glacius mm-hmm. has mentioned a length of clothesline and then, and pins, to pin up towels if you want to hang something outside, and not be, on the back of a chair, which is another thing to bring, folding chairs.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot have too many chairs because invariably somebody else will have forgotten chairs.
Mm-hmm.
Or like when we were traveling this last one, we flew down to Florida.
Yeah.
So, it was a bit of a challenge realizing that we're going to be camping and we've got two suitcases and we've got to pack everything we need. Now, we did have somebody on the other end, thank you, Marcy, for, you know, that set up our camp for us. So we were well taken care of, and we were camping with some other people that had chairs. But we brought our own toiletries and our own towels and clothing and, you know, everything else we needed. We just happened to have somebody on the other end that was, you know, setting up camp for us, and she set up camp the way we would have set up for ourselves. Of course, the fact that she camped with you how many times?
Dozens of times.
Yeah. So she knew exactly how to set up the camp.
Yeah, the thing I always tell people when they're planning an event also holds true for camping. Think about, okay, I'm waking up, I'm in my tent. What's the first thing I need? And what's the next thing I'm going to need? And, you know, and okay, now it's nighttime and I'm going to bed. And what's the first thing I want to do? I want to have a light. I need, you know, to have this or I need to have that. Whatever it is, take yourself through your day and plan for every eventuality. I know somebody who used to bring you know, those big kitty litter buckets of kitty litter, the plastic ones that you can buy that, like, you know, 15-gallon buckets or whatever. With the handles on them. She used to bring one of those, and she'd also bring an empty one. And every day she would put a little bit of kitty litter in the bottom of one of those, and then she had a toilet seat that her husband had fixed to the top of this because she knew she had a weak bladder, and she couldn't make it to the porta potty in the middle of the night when she had to pee. They had a separate tent set up just for that. And so she could make it to the other little tent to go pee and make it back. And then in the morning she would scoop it just like you would scoop a kitty litter box because it would clump and put it in a baggie and put it in the garbage. And then she would add more kitty litter to it. Exactly. She had her own litter box. But you know, so she knew that, and she made arrangements so that it didn't embarrass her. You know, she was always afraid she wasn't going to make it to the toilet because it was the other side of the campsite. And that can be something you have to consider, is how am I going to handle my individual issues? Am I going to bring wipies with me? Am I going to, you know, what am I going to do? So a little forethought.
Yeah, well, bringing baby wipes is always a good thing to have in camp anyway.
Yes, absolutely.
Just for cleaning and, you know, for any kind of hygiene issues. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So anyway, we're going to have a complete show on this. So, Glacius is like, it's almost like moving. Yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
You're setting up your home in the woods.
That's right.
What are you going to need? You know, think of it that way. Also, one other thing, it doesn't get mentioned a lot when people are thinking about this, putting a damn hat.
Yes. Something you and I both have wearers.
Yeah, something with a big, you know, big wide brim on it. Something, bring something to keep the sun off your face and your neck. And yeah, I, you know, everybody's probably seen a picture of me in that hat I picked up in South Africa. And you had a big woven hat that you brought with you. You know, it's, yeah, sombrero. Glacier says sombrero.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's not, you know, but, you know, that fashion's not by accident. So anyway, let's see. I think that's pretty much it. We need to go ahead and get out of here.
Agreed.
So want to thank everybody for being with us tonight. Thanks for all the comments in the chat room. Really nice interactive chat room tonight. Now, you know, we tell people this all the time. If you're not in the chat room, you're really missing a lot of the show. There's a lot goes on in there. And tonight it followed along pretty well with the topic, which means that we were speaking to people in a way that was meaningful to them. But very often the chat room will take a tangent, and they'll be having a separate conversation in there that's only tangentially related to the topic that we're discussing.
Right.
Either way, it's a great deal of fun. So log into, go to www.blogtalkradio.com and sign up for your own free account. They don't harass you. It really is free. And then you can log in, listen to the show live, and participate in the chat room. It's a blast. So with that said, again, thanks to everyone that is with us tonight, everyone that's going to listen to this in the archives.
Mm-hmm.
We are honored that you're taking time out of your day or your evening to share it with us, okay. Bringing us into your lives. So we're honored and truly blessed to have this opportunity. So thank you. How does people get in touch with us, my lady?
Well, they can certainly get in touch with us by emailing either Terry or I at littlestonebridge@gmail.com. You can also get in touch with us on the
Littlestonebridge Pathworkings.
Yes, Littlestonebridge, Pathworkings Facebook page. You can reach us on either of our personal pages. On Facebook as well. Mine is Robin A. McKean, and Terry is Rev Terry Power HP. You can private message us on either of those pages. Also, you can get in touch with the station if you have any comments or complaints or just in general anything, questions for the show, if you'd like.
Yeah, you can email those. The show, please.
Yep. And you can email those to, and Terry, I never can remember this one.
SURN.org@gmail.com.
Okay.
And that SURN is short for Spiritual Unity Radio Network. And that's where you are right now.
That's right.
And we're on 7 nights a week at 10 o'clock every night.
That's right.
We've got a wide variety of programming. Tuesday night is the Power Hours. Wednesday night, we're playing some rebroadcasts right now. We're going to be getting a new host in there. Thursday night, of course, is Under a Shady Tree, where you are. Tomorrow night on Fridays is Robin's show, Spiritual Wellness, Physical Health, with her co-host, Lisa Ripple. Tuesday nights we're working, we're going to be in rebroadcast for a little while. Sunday is Sacred Divergence Radio with Liz Hamilton, Lady Elizabeth. And she does a variety show, which is always a great deal of fun. And Monday is our Armchair Archaeologist with Visions of the Past. And William always does some interesting stuff looking at archaeology and how that applies to modern paganism. So that's the lineup. So, you know, tune in every night. There's something for everybody. So I guess that's about it. Did you have anything final you wanted to say as we wrap up?
No, I guess that's about it. Just as always, want to tell people, spread the love. Oh, the one thing I did want to say is tomorrow night, I believe, we will be interviewing Mr. Charles Arnold, rather a longstanding member of the pagan community, and he's got some interesting things that he's been doing that we want to hear about. So I hope you all tune in and see what's new with Charlie.
All right, coolness. And my final thought on the evening, and the topic has been about going to pagan festivals. And I just want to encourage people to do that.
Oh, yeah.
Go out and support these festivals, meet people face-to-face, and a handshake and a hug. Sharing that energy in person, there's no way to replace that with computers. Getting out and meeting people is the best way to build community. Mm-hmm. And it's great fun. You'll meet people at festivals that will become part of your life for the rest of this incarnation. And it's amazing. So get out and meet people and go to festivals. And with that, I think it's time to wish everyone a week filled with love and with wonder. Good night and blessed be.
Good night.
Thanks for listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Join us 7 nights a week for exciting programming covering a variety of expressions of faith. And remember, all manifestations of the divine are equally valid.